Hello and welcome to the Transcending CRM podcast, the show where we explore how the Salesforce ecosystem has impacted the careers of fellow trailblazers and the businesses that have leveraged dynamic growth from the platform. I am your host, JP Owens, Managing Director of Financial Services at Coastal Cloud. Joining me as always is my co-host, Elliot Spence, Director of Financial Services at Coastal Cloud. Thank you for tuning in today. Please remember to rate, review, and follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts, whether that is Apple, Spotify, or any other platform. Every like, follow, and review helps us out. Be sure to share the podcast with a friend or coworker if they're interested in the Salesforce ecosystem. Hey, Elliot, today's guest is an exciting one. You had the opportunity to be a lead architect on a few projects for them.
That's correct. Yeah, excited to welcome Adam to the show and talk about everything that he's had experience on through the platform. So it's going to be a fun episode. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and like Elliot said, we have an exciting episode today. We are joined by a guest who is a true trailblazer within the Salesforce ecosystem, and he has the receipts to back it up. Today, we are joined by Adam Bell, the Chief Marketing Officer at Arbor Realty Trust. Adam is passionate about customer experience, design thinking, and technology to achieve growth. He has been in the financial services industry and Salesforce ecosystem for over a decade. I had the pleasure of meeting Adam during his time at a previous organization, and we've stayed closely aligned since then. And I'm excited for everybody to hear some of Adam's incredible stories of success on the platform and also his very, very unique Dreamforce story. So welcome to the show, Adam.
Thank you, JP. Thank you, Elliot. Great to see both of you. It's been a while since we've been all three of us together, but you know, I'm pleased to join the show, the distinguished guest that you've had in the past, and join that rank. You know, JP, first, I'd say we did work together in the past, and just the group that you've assembled for us, always just magnificent team of expertise and really understanding, you know, like what we needed as a client. Elliot, you were one of those people that worked on our platform, and I'll tell a quick story before we get into everything about Elliot, but the two of us were speaking. JP was introducing us at an event. I think I had the pleasure of speaking after Elliot, and the crowd asked a lot of questions about what he was presenting, not because of uninterest or they were stuck. It was they really wanted to understand Salesforce and the tools. Elliot skipped his entire session that he had was going to speak about, and on the fly started coding an entire origination platform in front of everybody, which I think everybody was amazed that he was able to speak as well as, you know, drive this platform home and really just get the audience to understand, you know, what the experience is really like behind the scenes of the platform and how easy it could be for, you know, you to do the same and follow suit. So a lot of kudos. That was a hard act to follow. So thank you for, you know, having me here to, you know, keep following that act.
No, excited to have you on. Thank you for those kudos. I mean, that's something that sometimes maybe JP got mad at me for that because, you know, you don't always want to show everybody just how simple it can be. But the simplicity of it just comes from those years and years of doing it. And, you know, it's every bank, every financial services institution's a little bit different, but they do have a lot of similarities in that you can, you know, start to prep a lot of that information and a lot of that back end setup ahead of time, because it is all, you know, it's going to follow the same path. There's just those differences that every financial institution has that you have to run that discovery and really prep for ahead of time. So no, thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, indeed. And it was great to see two hands going at once, you know.
For sure.
Well, let's jump into it, Adam. Do you mind telling our audience more about yourself and what your current role is today and where you're located?
Great. I am the Chief Marketing Officer at Arbor Realty Trust, a recent hire, just joined in the past couple of months. But Arbor is one of the larger national real estate investment trust companies providing loan origination and servicing across a diverse commercial real estate asset group. This is a company that manages multi-billion dollars, you know, of a servicing portfolio, and just really excited to join it. It was hard to make a transition, of course, coming from a bank into, you know, real estate, but it certainly, you know, was one of those areas that, you know, there were a lot of similarities. And, you know, when I really looked at the leadership here and the consistency that this company has had for many years, it was almost a no-brainer at that point. And then you add on some of these Salesforce tools and things that this company has been doing for many years that just became like a home run at that point. So that's how I got here. It was a good fit.
That's awesome. Can you take us back, I mean, a little bit around kind of why Arbor and maybe what you're most excited about as you're getting started over there?
Sure. I think, you know, like one of those things is marketing is almost secondary to what we do because customer experience really plays into a large portion of that upfront. So asking those questions of like, how do we reach audiences? And, you know, what do we look at when we look at data and other opportunities? That really excites me, you know, because I think that like any company, there's more that you can do when you really start to, you know, look under the hood of what that data story really starts to tell and pull out the gems of insights that go along with it. And I think that there's a great story to tell. A background to everything I do is where marketing comes to life when you tell a great story. And I know there'll be some stories in here, I'm sure, as well. But tell a great story every time is something that I pride myself on. And certainly, I think, you know, Arbor here has that opportunity to keep doing that as well.
And can you take us back through your journey and recall the first time you purchased or implemented Salesforce? Everybody has such a different story, and it's interesting to hear those. Like, what were the business cases that you were looking for within the Salesforce platform?
Right. So I was fortunate to have a couple companies, you know, really work on the platform before I got there. So going back about 15 years, I think probably one of the more relevant stories is really going back to my days at MasterCard. The company was making a leap into deploying Salesforce and to use it across the board for the entire organization. When I joined, you know, I looked at a few things that really like, you know, became very heavy questions that I didn't think would be as heavy. But I think every organization faces the same thing. And that's, what do you do with all the prospects you have? Where do you put them? You know, and I think some of the tools that the company was using and the prior companies really didn't know what to do about more of that demand generation side and prospecting and then figuring out what to do with it, you know, well before you're even qualifying that as a lead. And I think that was really an important step for all of us to just rethink things a little bit and find tools that truly mattered to the ecosystem, but allowed us to actually store the data and use the data to our advantage while really understanding what is the difference between just somebody looking at a website or one of the channels that we have out to, are they really engaging with that channel? And that led us to, you know, really looking at a bunch of companies. We landed on Pardot. Pardot just was an absolutely great tool for us at the time. And I would say, like, I think the first question I asked the team that was, you know, engineering Salesforce for us in-house, I said, you're going to put a certain number of contacts in there. I would guarantee that the first email we send is going to blow away the amount of contacts that you have in Salesforce. And within a week or two, we did exactly that. We had, you know, a couple hundred thousand, you know, emails that we were sending to that eventually you start to go, well, should it go into Salesforce direct? I mean, should it go into some of the programs that were built on Salesforce? Is it going to muck or cloud up the data that you have, which is very, very value add questions here? And the answer was maybe, we just don't know. So I think going back that experience of really looking at the platform and then figuring out what else does Salesforce really have that could benefit us was like a game changer for me as far as how I market and how I could do and my teams could really work. And that led us to Pardot. And Pardot gave us an instant out of the box sync with Salesforce, which some of the tools at the time weren't quite doing. And, you know, if you go back, you know, 12, 15 years, these are hundreds of thousands of dollars it might take to sync up a database to a Salesforce or other CRM tools. So pushing a button overnight and watching it sync, and in a couple hours, not even an overnight, the platform is, you know, connected and you have a place that's almost like the holding cell for all of these prospects. You can't beat it. And that gave us, you know, a lot of credibility that we could actually get out to market very fast while keeping the data like clean. And that was extremely important for us.
You're definitely dating yourself a little bit, Adam, by calling it Pardot. I just had to check myself like three times this week. It's technically, for all of our listeners, it's now Marketing Cloud Account Engagement, which is the legacy Pardot that we're referencing here. So new names every year.
Yeah, well, you asked me to go back and, you know, going back on this platform quite a bit. And, you know, that was the call at the time, but the tool is largely the same. And to this day, I still find great value in that tool. And it's a tool that we use extremely well here at Arbor.
No, it's I always lose myself on all the renamings of products that Salesforce has, because every release, everything's renamed. So when I hear Pardot, I know exactly what everybody's talking about. If I hear Marketing Cloud Account Engagement, I do have to stop and think like, wait a second. Oh yeah, that's Pardot. So I think you're totally fine. I still catch myself calling things what they were called 3 years ago myself. But it's always great hearing everybody's journey, you know, when they first got into the platform, what brought them on, what was their use case they were trying to solve. And then once you're in and you're live, you know, it's kind of the crawl, walk, run approach of, okay, now we're crawling, we're using the system. What's next? You know, where are we managing processes and inboxes or spreadsheets? And you know, how can we automate a lot of this? You know, it really is fascinating to hear how everybody got into the ecosystem.
Yeah, and that was a big thing too, of like at the companies I've been at, you know, experience becomes, you know, a major part of a lifestyle brand. And if you can't even, you know, deliver the message to get to those customers or deliver it well, and then have insights to match, you know, how well performance or other aspects are doing, how can you deliver a great experience for a customer if you can't even get the message across first? And that's really like why those tools become incredibly important.
And one thing with Pardot and just some of the quick wins, I mean, Elliot and I lived through this back when we were working at a bank together where we actually leverage it to deploy a new onboarding program within a couple of weeks as part of an acquisition and merger where we didn't have a tool before. It was all outsourced, but we were able to stand up Pardot, connect to the right record types, and deploy to all new customers of the bank almost within a couple of weeks after vetting it through compliance and getting all your templates built out and things like that. But the actual strategy and implementation of it was pretty quick. It was all about then, hey, now associate or banker, you're seeing Elliot's opening his emails. He's clicking on his emails. He's showing interest in these areas. Like, this is how you now change how you view your portfolio and follow up with your portfolio. And the tools are awesome. The tools can be deployed quickly. It's really the follow through and execution that still seems to be the secret sauce, where people who do it really well have a plan for that.
Right, exactly. And I think the one thing that it brought to the table very fast was that audit trail, right? That audit log of, in actuality, what is that customer potentially doing across a series of channels? You know, it could be webinar, website, you know, whatever the case. Once you have that, then what, right? You know, because that problem solved. The next part is really the understanding of that customer. And you're right. Like, a lot of companies, a lot of places fail at that next step. You know, they don't get the data right, or they didn't put good data into the system in order to like really train what you have in front of you, and they fail, you know. So I've been very fortunate that, you know, been a part of a lot of companies that have done very well at, you know, that next step of the reach of the customer, but understanding like more than reach, how do you actually market to them well, and how do you understand them? And that always led to what I like to talk about a lot is empathy. You know, the empathy and data is almost like a next story a lot of times. You need that data to really understand what a customer is going through, and you know, what they're going through in life that maybe that you need to change, and change that message so that, you know, it's really about, you know, tailoring and crafting to truly like have a background in that customer. But then there's the data element that supports it. And those things come hand in hand when you really want to, you know, build an audience and build trust with an audience. So the tools are great to get you to those phases of things that you have to do, especially as a marketer, to really make an impactful, powerful message to the customers every time.
I want to talk through our first experience working together. We supported your vision for an account opening and loan origination project. Can you share a little bit about the vision for that product and why you ultimately chose Salesforce to support that experience?
Sure. I think there was mostly just a natural extension to build an origination platform. When you look back at the things that a Salesforce could do, and that was built on more of an Omni Studio approach that, you know, was a good recommendation, you know, from your teams, you start to look at a couple different factors that really, really like weigh in a lot. And that's, you have a platform in place that can actually handle, you know, that customer base and that customer record in a trusted source to make sure that that is a very well-protected source, especially when it comes to, you know, financials and other things that might be the ask of a platform. And this practice of this platform was built, you know, for many years. Omni Studio at that time gave us like a really good approach to even the code base, you know, making sure that the code is in a place that if one part breaks or you want to work on one other part, there's flexibility in the code base that everything doesn't fall apart. It's really like more of organizing the code base. And a lot of companies just don't do that well. You know, it's like you take a hit to the platform, and it's over. So those type of factors were extremely important to us. And then to be able to make sure that, you know, customer records, you know, are intact all the way through the process and can connect to other platforms that we have or had. I think those factors all added up. And that said, you know, like rely on the Salesforce stack as much as we could.
Well, in that project, just thinking back to it, like the theme of OmniStudio kind of fitting into helping complement some of the work that had already been done was kind of a first in banking. OmniStudio, formerly Velocity, was around for years in other industries, but it was really new to being available in banking. And you all were one of the first ones to kind of jump on board and go about executing and taking advantage of all it had to offer. On a similar theme, I mean, you and I have talked a few times. I mean, you're usually out in front of some of the technology and looking to test and pilot and try some of the new features. Let's talk a little bit about Data Cloud, which I know formerly CDP back when we talked about it years ago of what you were looking to do with that. But now with Salesforce Data Cloud and some of the AI capabilities, like that is the hot topic in the ecosystem. And I'm sure we'll hear more about it at New York World Tour coming up here in April. We're typically talking about use cases addressing like establishing a global customer ID, doing some really enhanced segmentation and activation, personalized experiences and journeys. How are you looking at that technology? Are you leveraging anything like that today? And like, what are you considering for your strategy around those types of tools going forward?
No doubt that's the part where everybody goes, well, how do I use AI? AI is well more than a buzzword at this point. The co-pilots that are out there are really starting to improve to the point where, you know, it is making a difference in daily routine. And I think every CMO that I spoke to so far has that same question, like, how do we really use it? You know, like when I look at Salesforce, you know, and the Dreamforces and those events, you know, obviously there's that push toward Data Cloud, toward AI. But when you really look at some of the companies that have just like truly, truly done an exceptional job on the platform, you know, I have to give like a strong kudos to the Rockets and F1 because they truly tie the experience together end to end for that customer. I mean, everything that you would see, you know, from beginning to end is in that that database. That experience is unbelievable that they've been able to build that end to end approach. Because if you look at AI, and I've been in AI for many years, actually, I always speak about training the brain. You have to train the brain. If you're putting bad data into your brain, you're going to get bad data out. That training of that data and looking at it really goes back to how I've also bucketed data for many years. There's exploratory versus explanatory. The exploratory side is really looking at data, making sure you have the right data, and trying to form a hypothesis about really where the goals are, where the needs are going to be, and be able to action on it. So cleanliness of data out to, you know, being able to action on that data is what's behind the scenes, you know, from Data Cloud, as well as like from a standpoint of AI actually taking that data to the next level. That's where the exploratory moves really into explanatory, where you're turning that into insights, and then you're turning that into a presentation layer for your audience. And I think a lot of people, you know, like forget about like that data, you know, in many cases, you want to keep it only to the data you have, not the data that you might be getting from outside sources. And that's the part of AI that obviously becomes scary, you know, trusting outside data. So knowing your data is still an integral part of really where Data Cloud and AI is headed. In general, like I said, like talking with a lot of CMOs, there's a lot of proof of concepts on the table, but, you know, people haven't nailed it yet. You know, they haven't nailed like that real use case for why AI is overly important. And I think that that's something that when really start to question, you know, how valuable is AI for us, or is the data strong enough to make, you know, the case for AI or even machine learning to do its job at that point? Those questions are all all like factored in there. And, you know, cost obviously becomes another factor with it. How much is this cost going to affect what we're doing in AI?
Yeah. And I think in financial services, obviously AI strategies and how are we going to get going on it? What's our strategy going to look like? How are we going to stay compliant? All those considerations are being discussed. But I do still think this is going to be the year of the data strategy and the data cloud type of implementations of, hey, I don't need to build out, or maybe I already have built out an MDM or data warehouse. How can I complement that and do things faster and deploy? Like what we talked about earlier in the conversation is, if I'm trying to go attack a certain segment or go to market in a new market around a certain segment, like that activity of organizing and planning could take weeks to months at most financial organizations right now. With something like Data Cloud and Salesforce together, you could potentially do this in a week or less with some of this data accessible on the platform.
Yeah, and I think that's a major factor here too. Like, you know, that cost savings comes down greatly when you really, really look at how well, like this platform could perform for you. So when you look at a cost of a platform versus the cost of using AI with it, you know, those are heavy decisions that people have to make, you know, to make sure that the value is truly there for you. Even at Arbor, we're asking the question, like, you know, we look at AI and we look at other use cases to say, is this really going to be an enhancer, or is it going to take a long time to get there? And that's the proof of concept, I think, that, you know, you're seeing more POCs than you are actually like deployments.
What is one piece of advice you would give to our audience about getting enabled on the vast capabilities in the platform? Like we talked about just in this episode, you know, from Pardot, Marketing Cloud, just the Financial Services Cloud, getting into data and Copilot and Einstein. With all these tools, what's the best way for people in our audience to get used to these vast capabilities, and how can they apply these tools to their current strategies?
Adam, actually, before you jump, maybe you could put it in two lenses. Like, one, as maybe back in your career, how did you get ramped up to be able to articulate the value? And then two, in your current role, like if I think a lot of our audience is potentially like admins and people like that, like how would you recommend they go about presenting to someone like yourself? Like, we should go try something on Data Cloud or Copilot as an example.
Yeah, I think like, as we talked about earlier, like, you know, going back to the early days of my career where I had to present this to executives and other people that were really owning the decision of should we use a platform like a Salesforce? It really became a question of, and I think the biggest question out there is, where do you put the data, right? Like, if you're going out to market and you have email campaigns and you have other use cases where that data becomes value for, like us, like origination tools and using Salesforce to really like service a customer, marketing is a very big part of that, but it's more communications. How do you communicate with the customer? How do you know that they've opened the messages or have received exactly what, you know, you're offering? And then fraud, you know, like how are you managing fraud against your platforms? And I think even going backwards to ask the question of fraud is where Salesforce and some of the honeypotting that they do with those tools, like I said before, like Pardot was at the time doing a lot of that work for us. Those questions are answered almost overnight when you really start to look at fraud and other aspects of, you know, what could hinder your entire company. And I think that really, really was what weighed heavy to say, well, maybe we need a place to store our customers. Maybe we need to look at them a little bit closer. Maybe we need to look at who's and monitor, you know, who's on our channels as much as we could. So really, like when we started to, you know, really put a bucket list of what we would like to do and what we couldn't do, those questions got answered awful quick. And then, you know, the use cases for should you bring AI into play, or should you bring some of these other, you know, Einsteins and other capabilities of that platform? That's, I think, more of the hardest part. It's not even the get going part. It's the after you've been there, you know, knowing that, you know, Salesforce is just a humongous entity that could help out in many ways. How do you actually present that? You know, present that, you know, you might need $1 million to make 10 million. So building out that use case and that proof of concept, for me, I like to allow the concept. I think if our teams are bringing me an approach that says, we think this could work, I'm going to invest in the people. And I'm going to invest that we already have tools in place to perform well on the platform that we have, especially at Arbor here, you know, built on a Salesforce platform. I'm going to rely heavily that my team is ready because they see something that I don't see. And that becomes a people question almost as much as it does, you know, that proof of concept.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of that's the theme of all of this is the tools are there, but what are your people going to execute on and what do they believe in? I think is a great way to look at it. So we've got one more question for you. Normally we would get into our fun facts and unbelievable stories, but I think we, Elliot and I, know your story and would love for you to tell as much of it as you're comfortable, since you do have an unbelievable story, which I didn't believe you the first time, but you've told it consistently over and over again. So I would love for our audience to hear about your one-of-a-kind Dreamforce experience that you had at one point in your career.
This is one way to really sell Dreamforce. The experiences that you could have at Dreamforce. This is it in a nutshell.
In 5 minutes or less.
Sure, exactly. This story, of course, is a lot longer. And I think everybody in my community has certainly heard this story a million times. So, forgive me for recasting a story here. But once I start to tell it, everybody will know it. But it really goes back to customer experience. And, you know, the things that I really liked about Salesforce was customer experience. They treated every client with utmost respect. For everybody has a different journey, but there are plenty of tools that we can help you with. And one of those experiences as a customer of Salesforce was to go to Dreamforce and, you know, not only look at tools, but to enjoy the community and be a part of a lot of people that, you know, were in very much similar positions. This story, I happened to have an opportunity in one of the nights of Dreamforce to go to the Flo Rida concert. And I was with the Pardot CEO at the time, and I think the head of marketing as well for Salesforce. And we had front row seats. So it was very nice to see Flo in action until one of Flo's bouncers landed in front of me. I couldn't see the stage because this was just a massive, massive human being. And jokingly, I said, "Hey, scoot over a little bit. I'm trying to watch Flo." And he started laughing at me. He said, "Don't worry, you'll want to see this." And he picked up Flo Rida from the stage and brought him into the crowd, you know, which was an unbelievable experience, but he brought him on his shoulders. So Flo Rida is big. And this bouncer of security is even bigger and drove him around the audience, and everybody had a great time. So, you know, me being a bit of a joker, I said to the bouncer, like, "What's it going to take for me to get up on that stage? You know, Flo Rida came down to the audience. How do I get back up on that stage?" Jokingly. And he said, looked at me and goes, "Well, you got to prove it." So I said, "If I get up on stage and do a split, would that prove it?" And he looked at me, started cracking up and with laughter, picked me up like a little kid and put me on that stage. I dropped down and did the best split I could do at the time. And crowd goes nuts. Flo Rida, in the middle of his performance, "Welcome to my," looks over and goes, "What the?" Maybe some other words in there. Comes over, puts his arm around me. Next thing you know, I'm dancing away with Flo Rida on stage. You know, I think I got a little cocky, tried to do another split that did not land it. But, you know, being with Flo Rida, being in that experience, those are memorable experiences. Those are the things that I remember most about, like, Salesforce wanting to give me the best experience possible. You know, the people around me, you know, the account teams and the Pardots at the time, like, they all wanted me to have a great experience. And that's what I walk away with. So in the spirit of, like, what I always say about marketing, our goal is to tell a great story every time. So I hope you had a little fun with that story as well.
Love that story. And I'm glad we didn't give it all away. So people have a reason to seek you out at World Tours or Dreamforce to maybe catch up with you and learn more about what else happened that evening. But it is a great story.
It's one of the best you'll ever hear from Dreamforce.
I've heard that before. So that's great.
Yeah. And I'll give Adam a plug too, in case you all want a good karaoke person. Adam, I would say, is a king of karaoke from my experience. So keep that in mind if you run into Adam at any upcoming Salesforce events. Thank you again, Adam, for joining us today. Really appreciate the conversation. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. Please like and review the podcast wherever you listen. If you're interested in joining us for an episode and you have a similar story to Adam with Flo Rida or a Dreamforce story, we'd love to hear it. So please reach out to Elliot or me on LinkedIn and we'll try to get you on the show. We'll catch you all in the next episode of Transcending CRM. Thanks again.
Appreciate it.